Good morning, church. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord. Hey. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come to you today, Lord, just thanking you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're already with us, Lord. And we thank you, Father, that you would just continue to lead and direct our paths and what we're hearing and receiving from you today. So we just honor you and we praise you and we glorify your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. How's everyone doing?
Glory!
Amen. Love it. Love it. All right. So I'll go ahead and jump right in. Many people are going through a battle. And this battle in Exodus 17 gave me lots of encouragement. It was talking about the journey of the children of Israel. We refer to them as the Israelites. So first, I just want to, it's only 16 verses, but there's so much that's in this passage. And I just thank God for just showing me a way to kind of talk about it and put it into like just practical terms and real life situations. So I'm going to start by reading Exodus 17, verses 1 through 7. Okay. Then all the congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped in Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore, the people contended with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." So Moses said to them, "Why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord?" And the people thirsted there for water. And people complained against Moses and said, "Why is it you have brought us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said to Moses, "Go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock of Horeb, and you shall strike the rock and water will come out of it that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. So he called the name of the place Massa and Meribah, because of the contention of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" In our lives, there are many that's just dealing with health issues. They're dealing with financial issues, relational issues, career issues, addictions, mental issues. God had me do a little bit of research. I love looking at clouds. I've been doing this my entire life. Just looking at clouds, and I can see like shapes and I can see different patterns. And for some reason, God said, "Look that up." And I found out that used to be diagnosed as a mental issue. You know, it meant like you was like psychosis, like you were not in reality, you know, and that you, but until they could train the computers to understand shapes and patterns and then take the data and make something visually out of it, they then diagnosed it as not being a mental issue. But that's just an example that no one can tell you what you're facing. No one can define what you're facing. Only God can. But at the same time, these are still things that people put on us. It's things that we feel like we're really experiencing. We put it on ourselves, we diagnose ourselves, we complain, we just do this. And this is what the children of Israel was kind of doing. They had, you know, traveled from Egypt to Rephidim. Rephidim was meant to be a camp. They were on their way to the promised land. They were set to get revitalized. They wanted to relax. They wanted to be reduced. They had their juicers. They had their Vitamix out. They were ready to go. You know, they were really to just make this a spa feeling for them. And to get there, there's no water. Now, traveling from Africa towards the Middle East, that's a tough journey in the desert. So water was very essential. And the thing is the major problem was that God told them to go. So even in this hope and this expectation of being revitalized, they came into issues. They came into a major problem. And what they thought was going to be a situation of relaxation and a situation of comfort and all the struggle that they had been through, it ended up being a place where it was kind of hurting them. And in our lives, that's how we are. We think, oh, if I just get through high school, you know, I get this diploma, I get into this marriage, I get this new job, I get into this new opportunity, I'll be set. I'll be settled. I'll be good because I'm getting through. And then you find out sometimes that no, you're going to be fighting the biggest battle that you've ever fought right when you're thinking that it's time to relax. In John 10, and I'm just going to paraphrase, John chapter 4, 10, it says that Jesus, he's our living water. People are thirsty. People are thirsty in their marriages. People are thirsty in their finances. People are thirsty in their minds. People are thirsty just in being thirsty. They're just thirsty. Amen. And they're the whole time they're thinking, I'm just doing what God told me to do. So why am I dehydrated? Amen. Why am I even going through this? I'm following the word of Jesus. Come on, Jesus. So the children of Israel started to complain about not having water, getting annoyed with their circumstances. Moses started seeing them picking up some rocks, start kind of throwing them up in the air, looking at them, you know. Moses like, come on, Jesus. you need to handle these people. Because you start to look at whose fault is it? You want to point blame, but what we have to understand is that we have to learn in season and out of season how to trust God. Personally, the children of Israel, they always complain to me. Like, you know, in chapter 14, he opened up the Red Sea. He brought them out of Egypt. Pharaoh is bold enough to go into the water and chase after them. But they're walking in the water and they're probably scared out their mind. But the fact that the water is like beside them has got to be amazing. In chapter 15, God provided water for them. Again, it was an issue of water. So it's not like they haven't been in this situation or circumstance before. So they knew that God could provide. In 16, they needed food. God had rules. He said, you know, go out, you know, pick up the food, pick up the water. Don't get too much. Don't save it. Just be obedient and do what I tell you to do. So, of course, they looking out for themselves like we do. They like keeping a little bit extra. And then they find out maggots and stuff like the next day is growing in it. So I used to read this group of people and judge them. I was like, God just blessed y'all last night. He just blessed y'all a chapter ago. You know, we don't have any sense of time lapse. We don't know these people have been going through this, like we've been going through our same situation, our same circumstances. But you're like, come on, Israel? But then you realize, like, that's me. Put yourself in that situation. Put yourself in that. Put yourself in a situation where you've been in bondage and you finally got an opportunity for freedom. And you have this leader that you know he's a man of God. He's leading the effort. He's leading the cause. Jesus. And you're still going through. And you feel like I'm in a worse situation than I was. At least I had food. At least I had a place to lay my head. At least I wasn't, like, going through things. At least I wasn't questioning if God is with me or not. I knew the situation that I was in, and I was comfortable with that situation. I was used to that situation. I'm thirsty now. So, but if we look at verse 5, and the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river, and go. Have you ever experienced God at your breaking point? Yeah, I want him to come a little bit earlier than that. But he will throw you a bone. Go ahead, continue on with the journey. I think when the water came out, it was probably like a desert Walmart out there. And you know those little red party cups? They probably was like, we got some water now. About to make this happen. But because you have to trust him, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. The enemy is so good at us focusing on our problems that we forget how good God has been to us in our past. Again, God, we cannot forget that God opened up the Red Sea for the children of Israel. We can't forget that he provided water. We cannot forget that he provided food. So what are they complaining about? What are we complaining about? Especially when we know all that God can do. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and go to the next group of verses, Exodus 17, verses 8-16. Now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek tomorrow. I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was. When Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and came and called its name, the Lord is my banner. For he said, because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek for generation to generation. God provided, he gave us some water, we were happy. But God also knew what was coming. So he needed us to be prepared. He needed us to be strong enough because he knew that we were going to have to continue to fight. Israel had to fight Amalek. A lot of times you're at your job and it's a coworker that's just irritating. And then once that irritator, you pray that coworker out, and then the coworker is not at the location anymore. It's going to be something else that's going to come at that same location. But you've learned how to stand and how to trust the Lord and what you needed to do to prepare yourself for the expectation and continue to hold on to the expectation that God has for you, regardless if you're at the same place and you're experiencing different battles. It's just making you stronger. I believe that God showed his grace because he provided the water before Amalek came. Yes, there was a struggle. There was uncertainty. It was probably really scary, but God knows what's coming and he makes provision and he prepares you for the great promise so we can handle it. We need to stop being complainers. We're survivors. We have to fight. I like in verse 9, Verse 9, Moses said to Joshua, "Choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." To me, this symbolized a very firm spiritual grasp and perspective of not letting God go. Moses said, "I'm gonna go high and you guys go low." They were gonna take care of the physical responsibilities of being in the front line and fighting in the physical realm. What was there? They needed to fight this enemy. They needed to physically fight what was in front of them. But Moses was responsible for going to the top and getting guidance from the Lord. So it shows how we need to have a balance. We need to be connected within our spiritual selves so that we can fight the enemy and the attacks in the supernatural, but we can also be led on how to handle these physical battles that we go through in life. You can't be so earthly bound that you're no heavenly good. Or even flying around in the sky, speaking tongues, speaking spiritual languages, but can't be used on earth. So you have to embrace who we are in Christ. And we are triune. We are triune beings. We are spiritual. We have a spirit as well as flesh. So we have to look to God to lead us and to guide us in our spiritual walk as well as our physical walk. I also like when in verse, I have to find it. I'm going to start at verse 11. And so it was. When Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. When he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hand became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. The edge of the sword is the word. But what I like is that you always know the right people that's around you, because they're going to give you the word. They're going to give you the spiritual things that you need and support to keep you going forward in your life, in this battle of life. They held him up physically with all their might, but they took the rock and they put it underneath them. So they knew they couldn't do this all by themselves. They knew they couldn't hold this man or support him, but they knew they needed to have enough word in them and enough oomph in them to be able to help their brother by placing the rock underneath him when he was getting tired and he was getting weary. But then also, they physically had to hold him up. So they had to believe and trust God too. Like, don't let me go. Don't let me fall. We need to continue on. So you can't do this by yourself. You can't do this by yourself regardless without God. But you also can't do this by yourself without your brothers and sisters in Christ. In closing, I'm going to ask my friend Samir to come up. And the reason why I got permission from Samir family, if I could call him up, because I like a few weeks ago when we first reconvened for church. Samir, you just kind of stand right there. When we first reconvened for church with COVID-19, he stood up. He gave a testimony, and he was so proud of being baptized. And for him to want to just jump up. Samir, how old are you? 8? Okay. For him to just for him to just jump up and just want to give God all the glory and praise, that's how we need to be. We need to trust God and thank God that even with everything, with the COVID-19, with the battle and everything that we've been facing, thank you, Lord, for baptizing me. Thank you, Lord, for taking care of me. I'm sure Samir missed school and missed his friends and, no, okay. He missed a little, he said he misses friends, but he doesn't miss school. So what I wanted to do was, God gave me this epiphany, and I shared it with my Aunt Lou, that we've never seen our face before. Has anyone ever seen their face? Like, you've seen your face in a mirror, but have you ever seen your face without a mirror? Mm-mm. No. But, Samir, can you look at that mirror right now and just turn it around towards you? Yeah. You see your face, right? Like, you see something, right? You have to trust that that mirror is telling you the truth. There are so many different mirrors that's out there. There could be a mirror that could show you that you're a different color. It could be a mirror that could show you you're a different size. But you have to believe that that mirror is true. So now, Samir, you can put that mirror down. I don't know, did you see your face at all? Yeah, okay. He said he put it down, he just didn't know how to pick it up. So now can you pick up the Bible? Okay. So you're just gonna hold it like right in front of you like that. Okay. And you're gonna repeat after me. Deuteronomy, don't say this. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. And repeat after me. The Lord your God will never leave you nor forsake you. He's so smart. He put himself in that scripture, and I love that. All right, we're gonna keep doing that. And look at the Bible when you're saying that. For we live, this is coming from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we live by faith, not by sight. Okay, and let's do 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. Whatever you do, you don't say that? Do it all for the glory of God. So that's the mirror, spiritual mirror. Amen. Because he knows who he is in Christ. Because he goes into that book. And that book tells him who he is. And when, I don't know if you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because you're not at the age of accountability, right? But you're doing good. Okay, you're on the right track. But for those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, you have become a new creature in Christ. And becoming a new creature in Christ, your spirit has changed. And because your spirit has changed, that book is telling you who you are. That book is your spiritual mirror. That book is telling you the truth of who you are. So you don't have to ask God, God, wait, did you leave me? Are you still here? No. You said you'll never leave me nor forsake me. Amen. We can speak that with authority. So I just want to thank you, Samir, so much. And I know your family has roots in New York. So I got you a little New York binder. But thank you for your help. So just with that, just take that demonstration as the same way we look in the mirror, we see our reflection. We're made in his image. Looking in that mirror shows a reflection. We can see our reflection. And then looking in the Bible, we see our reflection because we are the reflection of him. We're made in his image. So that's our truth. So if you ever have any doubt of who you are, you don't have to. All you have to do is read the word and it will tell you who you are in Christ. So that's the rock. So since Jesus said it, we're gonna do it, looking for victory while fighting these battles, because we have the rock. Come on, Jesus. Thank you.